Dearest brethren, God bless you. I pray the Lord will bless this broadcasting today, will help me translate. I am Dora. I will translate the live message which Brother Joseph gives on RadioBlast.net in Italian. I will translate it into English. May the Lord bless this time together with him in his word. Amen. The message of the day, it's a message about news. A news which made a big news in Italy. Car accident at Rome. 4 young people died. A car skid and went against a tree. They all 4 died instantly. The message, the news is taken from ansa.it. They're coming home from discotheque Saturday night. They knew very well the road home, but somehow they ended up against a tree and they all died instantly. Their car crashed against a tree. They were 17-year-old and 18-year-old. Their names are Ambra, Jessica, Federico and Ricardo. They were out all night long, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, they were coming home together. Ambra and Jessica, they were soulmates, and they were very, very good friends. They loved the music of Rihanna and Vasco Rossi. But they ended up dead. Joseph is saying, we see... from all these pieces from the news, we see that their lives was very worldly. Their lives had nothing to do with God. Rihanna, Vasco Rossi, soulmates, discotheques, going out together every weekend, always on Facebook with their photos. Their news... touched Italy a lot because they were young people. They were 17 and 18. It's amazing. A few months earlier, in the same spot of Rome, there was another accident and 2 young people lost their lives in a car accident. And now 4. Joseph is saying they were sheep that they were devoured by the wolves. They were lost. These young people were lost. The girls were beautiful looking, and the young men were cool looking. They had a bunch of selfie photos, and this is how they were. The article says that the mother of Ambra had a dream a couple of days earlier, that in a dream was running after the daughter. In the dream, the mother was running after the daughter and was not finding her. And it was like a premonition dream. Running after her, but not finding her, not at all, never. And it was a premonition dream. They were riding down, the road was going down, and they were in high speed, and there was a curve, and they didn't make it to get the curve, and they smashed against a tree. The article continues, the father of Jessica is crying a lot, and is in pieces, and he says, I can never get over this. I can never get over this. And he yells out at the funeral, God, why didn't take me? Why didn't take me instead of my daughter? Jessica was the greatest girl in the world. Where is my God that took everything away from me? He finds no peace, the father. His name is Vangelo in Albanese. They were Albanese, these girls. Albanians, excuse me. His name is Vangel or something like that, and it means gospel, Vangelo, gospel. And he's crying, crushed, and he is saying, why? he took my daughter? Why he didn't take me? Why he didn't take me? What is the God in whom I trust? Why he took everything away from me? Basically, it happens what often happens. He blames God. Joseph is saying this father, like many fathers of today, he assumes, this father and other fathers assume that God is the one that took the daughter. And they don't understand that it's not God that did it. God didn't kill his daughter. I asked the Lord that he would speak to us over this news, and that he would speak to us through some scriptures. And I would like to share with you what I received from the Lord in prayer. I'll read to you what I received from the Lord in prayer about this accident and about what this father said. God is saying, "No, my sons, I didn't take your daughters or your sons. It's the devil that did it." 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I talk to you, Christian parents. If you're truly Christians, why you don't search from me with all your heart? And why you didn't teach this to your daughters and your sons? Why do you come to me only in front of the funeral, only in front of the coffin you search for me? Am I the God of the dead and of the funerals? Am I not the God of the living? I'm asking you, why do you cry now when there's nothing else to do? Why didn't you search for me before? Why didn't you search for me before the devil took away your daughter? I'm asking you, why don't you teach your sons and daughters my word? Why don't search for me? Why don't listen to me? Why don't search for me, your daughters, not to go to a discotheque or to a pub or to take drugs or to get drunk? Why don't teach them not to do these things? Why don't teach them? Why? Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk with them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and upon your gates." Jesus is continuing. What are these young people doing at 4 o'clock in the night in a car? Where were they going? What were they searching for? Was that the right way for them to do? The right thing for them to do? You Christian parents, did you teach them that this was wrong what they were doing? So many of your sons and daughters are doing the same. Why don't teach them that true Christians at 4 o'clock in the morning should be in bed, protected by my angels? Are you teaching them that if they want to live in the same house with you, Christian parents, then they need to follow my gospel, that they need to live according to the scriptures and the gospel? Are you teaching them that if they want to live worldly and paganly, then they should go with the world and with the pagans? Are you putting your warnings to them in practice? Especially your underage children need to obey your parents, need to obey the parents in God. And this you need to teach them in this antichrist world in which you're living. With every cost, you need to teach them this. Even if it costs your life, teach your children. Hebrews 12:4, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." It's me that I ask you why you don't teach your sons and daughters, even those overage, that if they want to live together with in the same house, then you expect respect and you expect obedience. You expect them to obey my commandments in my gospel. If you parents say you're Christians, then you should teach your children the same. Otherwise, you're not worthy of being Christians. I am asking you questions. Why don't teach your children that if they don't desire to love, to obey, to honor me and their Christian parents, then they should go to the world. They should go to the world, to the rebellious world, if they don't obey me and you as their Christian parents. They're underage. You support them financially. And if they want your support, they owe you obedience. The overage children. If they don't obey you as Christian parents, then they should go into the worldly life that they are choosing. I am asking you why you don't teach your children that the parents are not slaves of the children. I know there are laws, Antichrist laws, who make you support them, who make you support them even though they are disobedient and rebellious. But in this case, you will get persecuted. But then listen to what I say about persecutions. Matthew 10:23. When they persecute in this city, flee unto another. In this case, when you are forced to still support them, even though they are rebellious, I counsel you to go to another town, to go away, to let them alone with their rebelliousness. Let them go in their wrong ways, where the judgments will be upon them. What use is there to cry after your son died? What use is there to cry after they are taking drugs and after they became addicted to drugs? What use is there to cry after, because of their disobedience, they end up in discotheques, in Facebook, in Internet, in Satanism? What use is there to cry afterwards? Isn't it better to cry, to cry and fight before? Against the spirits of Satan who wants to destroy your children, because they will be destroyed. My Christian parents, why you don't use your houses as houses dedicated to me? Why you don't eat with your children at least once a day? And in that moment of eating together, you make it a moment of praying together, of listening to my word, of studying my word, the gospel, together. Why you don't fight for this? Even to death if it's needed, or even if you have to take off if it's needed because they don't want to listen to you. Even if you have to separate from them, because in your separations you'll separate yourself from satanic spirits. Instead of being there listening to their satanic spirits, you separate from them. And I will bless that separation. Don't you know that if you don't get out these demons out of your houses and of your families, that these spirits will take you over? Don't you know that? They will take over you and your house? Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, he servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:16. Matthew 12:43-45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking whom he may find, seeking rest. Then he saith, I'll return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he out and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of them, that man, is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto that wicked, unto this wicked generation. Matthew 12:43-45. Don't you know that I can set you free of these evils? But that you first fight against them. Do your part. Do whatever you can to separate yourself from the devil's world. Romans 6:22-23. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, have your fruit unto holiness, and unto the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:22-23. I know that the world will not listen to me, but I'm speaking to my children. Don't disobey. Don't sleep like the sleepy churches do and disobedient churches do. Don't you know you need to fight against sin? Don't you know it? Haven't you read it? The sleepy churches haven't told you, but listen to me. I am telling you. Hebrews 12:4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews 12:4. Hebrews 10:33. Partially, whilst you are made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly you are made companions of them that were so used. Matthew 24:9-13. Then shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Revelation 2:13. I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is, but you hold fast my name and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. My sons and daughters, remain faithful to me. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And now I tell you all, be faithful to my truth and to my gospel, and I will protect you of the enemy, evil enemy, and he will not be able to kill your sons and daughters like he is doing right now. I don't make your sons and daughters die. I don't make them fall into the drugs, in rebellion, in disobedience, in the world, in sadness, crushed here and there, without a compass. It's the devil who does it. And he uses your disobedience to my word. My word, which is your only hope, the only way to get out of the tempest that the enemy throws continually against your family. I tell you, it's not true that you come from enemies. You come from me, I created you. And because you come from me, I gave you the free choice, as it is written. Jeremiah 17:5-7. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in the man, and maketh flesh his arms, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and non-inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:5-7. Galatians 6:7-8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6:7-8. Amen. Deuteronomy 4. Now Israel, keep the commandments which the Lord commanded you. Deuteronomy 4:4. But if you cleave to the Lord, cleave to the Lord, and if you do it, he will be found of you. He will be found of you. Search for him, and he will be found of you. If you listen to his voice, he will listen to you. If you search for him, he will be found of you. He will not forget you. He will not forget the covenant which he did with your parents. Second Chronicles 33:10. Manasseh. The Lord spake to Manasseh. Verse 12. When Manasseh was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And God was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. End of message. Amen. Lord, help us. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory, God. Glory to God. These are the last scriptures that God gave me. Second Chronicles 7:14. And then Second Chronicles 33. You know, Manasseh was probably one of the worst kings. He killed his sons with fire, and he made abominations to God. But Manasseh humbled himself to the Lord, and he besought the Lord, and the Lord was entreated of him and heard his prayer. I want to talk to the brethren, to the Christian parents. If you did something wrong and you have rebellious sons, you have rebellious sons and daughters, if you have a son that's cursing you when you correct him, if you fail the Lord and you didn't raise your children the way you should have, you can repent. Either you're unbelievers from before and you didn't know any better, or you're disobedient believers. Do the way Manasseh did. Entreat the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Ask his forgiveness. And as he did Manasseh, he will forgive you. He will take you back and he will restore you. He cannot give you back your son, which maybe died. Maybe he died in an accident or out of drugs he died. But he will give you a wonderful life if you repent. But you have to repent. Face to the floor and with tears search for the Lord and call on him. Call on the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who paid on the cross, God will forgive you. Turn to him. You are listening right now. Maybe you are one of those who goes to the discotheque. Repent. Repent. I talked to a brother in Skype, and he told me he has problems with pornography. Repent, brother. Get yourself on your knees and repent. We are all falling in a sin or another. Only the Pharisees don't fall into sins. Every true son of God has sins to forsake and to confess. We all have sins. Let's repent. Let's repent, brethren. And the Lord will forgive us like Manasseh. The Lord will listen to us. And like he reestablished Manasseh, he reestablished him. He went back to Israel. He sacrificed his sons on the altar of the idols, but God restored him. Manasseh, the worst king that ever Israel had. He reigned 50 years or something like that. First he had to go through being a prisoner in Babylon. He went to Babylon prisoner. After that, he repented. If you repent after you go through your imprisonment of, quotes, Babylon, after you lost your son and daughter, you see you cannot do anything anymore. Maybe your son and daughter crossed the line of non-return. Maybe your son and daughter is dead. You cannot take them back. You lost your son or daughter. You cannot get them back. But you can at least get back. Come back. God is calling us. If your son and daughter doesn't listen to you because he's a slave of his rebelliousness and he has to follow the world, he has to put tattoos like the world does, he has to go into the discotheque and there is no way you can get him back into the right way. He has to have perverted sex. He listened to the world and he doesn't listen to you. You come back. you come back, you follow Jesus. If you did your best and you warned your son and daughters and they don't listen, you listen to Jesus, okay? You follow Jesus. In this prophecy I received, Jesus is telling you, dedicate your hearts to God, and if they don't want to be dedicated to God, with love, either they move out or you move out. Don't live in the same roof with them. Either they leave or you leave. Whatever it's possible. Do like Abraham and Lot. Do like Abraham and Lot. Tell your Lot, my son, I love you, but this is a Christian home, dedicated to Christ. There are houses dedicated to alcohol, to drugs, to homosexuality. This is dedicated to God. If you want to remain here, with all my heart, I am ready to wash your feet even today. But if you want to stay here, with your lifestyle, I think you have to find another house, or I find another house. Depends on the situation. This is what the prophecy I received from Jesus tells you. Jesus said, I bring a sword from now on. I don't bring peace. Your enemies will be those of your own household. The son and daughter will be divided against the parents, and the parents against the daughters and the sons. Jesus said it. Okay? The Christian father will be separated from the unchristian pagan daughter, and so on. 1 Corinthians 1:10 talks about unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Psalm 133:1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. If we have such a family, wonderful, united, wonderful. But if the son wants to go to a discotheque, the wife wants to go to bed with the TV instead of with the husband who wants his alcohol more than his family, then Matthew 10:34 says, I don't bring the peace, but I bring a sword. The family will be divided. I finished the message. Mary sent us a wonderful scripture, Proverbs 23, which I will read to you. Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with a sword, he shall not die. You shall beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Mary sent us this scripture. Proverbs 23:13-14. It says, withhold not correction from the child, because if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die, but if you do it, you will deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 23:13-14. Beautiful scripture Mary sent us. Thank you, Mary. That's why today, into this pagan world, it's forbidden to correct your children and to beat them with a rod. On the news, they make you see a father who takes a whip and whips his child until he ends up in the hospital. That's not a father, that's a demon. So that's not a good example. You know what? I think it's right to give a little correction, some slaps on the bottom. A few slaps on the bottom or on the hands are good. You explain to him with a few slaps on his bottom that you don't put your fingers into the into the electricity plug. And if I don't do that, maybe he ends up in the hospital electrocuted, or maybe even that. These are all antichrist things, that the fact that you cannot correct your children, because they want you not to correct them, so they can become his sons, the sons of the devil. So they can go into the discotheque at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to bed with somebody who has AIDS, and then your daughter ends up with AIDS. And because you cannot correct them, and they end up like that. So it's just the devil preaching against corrections. Angela is saying, earlier you were saying that if a son is overage, you can invite him to leave out. But that looks a little bit unloving, doesn't it, that you send your son out of your house? Well, I think the answer is this scripture that Mary just sent us. Proverbs 23:13-14, beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. So even if it looks unloving, you know what? It's not unloving. You just don't want to compromise with the devil. You don't want to compromise with the devil. And you stay strong in your... You're staying in the truth. You're staying in the truth, and you're not compromising with the truth. The true love is to do the more difficult choice, but without compromises. And you tell him what's right and what's wrong, with the hope that he'll repent and he'll see that he's wrong. So don't be hypocrite like the world, you know. You're there, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and you let him bring the devil into the house because you love him so much. Don't compromise, tell the truth, even invite him to sleep out, and maybe he'll wake up, and he will repent instead of making compromises with the devil. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, withhold not correction from the child. The world is hypocrite. Ask the policemen or the soldiers. You go in the army, if you look weird at a sergeant or an official, you end up in jail. You better toe the line. The world puts people in prison 15, 20, 30 years. And I cannot give a little correction to my son, a little slap on the back, behind. In certain nations, there is the death sentence also. In Italy, they put them in jail for years and years and years. What's better, the electric chair or some corrections on the bottom? These guys are crazy who are preaching not to correct their children with a few slaps. Praise the Lord. We are going to continue. This was the message about these young people. God bless you, dear brethren. So, dear parents, if you made a mistake and you didn't raise your children the way you should have, and your children are drug addict now, with drug addict, not of drugs only, but women, discotheque and whatnot. Now that you understood that you shouldn't have done this, you can repent like Manasseh, and you are forgiven, and you can start again, okay? If your son doesn't behave as a son, don't treat him as a son. Tell him you love him, I would give my life for you. I would love to wash your feet, but in this house, it's Jesus Christ, number one. I love him even more than you. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus. So, you were wrong in the past, but now you see and you repent, and you can tell this to your son and daughter now. You're going to tell them, look, we're going to eat together, and here at this table, we're going to pray to Jesus, and we're going to thank Jesus for the food, and we're going to read even a chapter at the end of the meal. If you don't like this, if you want to eat with one hand and with the other hand on your on the phone, then you're not welcome at this table. This table is Christian table. This phone is in the garbage, not at the table. If you don't agree with this, If you don't, if you don't agree with this, I help you find a room. I help you find a room. I'll help you find a room. The children are not slaves of the parents, and the parents are not slaves of the children. You know what? I help you find a room. And the door is always open. Look, on top there of the door, it's written, prodigal son, welcome. Prodigal son, welcome. Anytime you repent, you're welcome to come back. Like that news that we heard that the son threw his mother over the balcony because she didn't want to give him money for the drugs. Be careful that the Lord will throw you out of the heaven's balcony and you're going to end up straight in hell unless you repent. Unless you repent. So this message is very important. You can tell your son and daughter, you can take your backpack and your sleeping bag and you can live in the discotheque, okay? I mean, there are brethren who write to us and say they don't sleep at night because they know that their sons and daughter are in the discotheques until early in the morning. You know what? Put your foot down, okay? Discotheques are only brothels these days, most of them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this message. Thank you, Jesus, for this message. Lord, help us to repent.